Welcome to Recovery Radio by Landmark Recovery with your host, Zach Crouch. In this program, we'll discuss the root causes and treatments of alcohol and substance addiction, speak with experts in related fields, and help navigate the road to recovery. Now, here's the host of Recovery Radio, Zach Crouch.
Hello, I'm Zach Crouch, host of the Recovery Radio podcast, your source for addiction and recovery news and knowledge. If you know someone struggling with drugs or alcohol, Recovery Radio is here to help. We are dedicated to providing you with the tools to help you or a loved one take the first step on the road to recovery. Joining us on the show today is Cassie Baker. Cassie is a licensed professional clinical counselor with 4 years of full-time experience as a mental health practitioner. She is also a temporary certified alcohol and drug counselor and provides mental health counseling to duly diagnosed individuals in her current role as an outpatient therapist. Cassie, I just want to say welcome to the show. We are so grateful to have you on with us as a guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach.
So as the title of this show would suggest, brain spotting, I'm sure our listeners would love to know what exactly is brain spotting.
Yeah, sure. So brain spotting is a form of treatment that helps to identify, process, and release emotional and physical pain that could be related to depression, anxiety, traumas, addiction, and other challenges. A lot of times people come to therapy because they feel stuck in their past and their present day experiences. You know, painful memories might be resurfacing without any warning. Anxiety and panic, we know, can show up at any moment. Depression interferes with our ability to feel connected to ourselves or to anybody else, and we carry the pain of grieving for a long time after a loss. So it's really awesome when you find a trained professional who you're able to connect with and talk through these experiences. And healing is definitely possible, even with, you know, traditional talk therapy. But healing is hard work, and we're always looking for new methods that allow us to help our clients process more thoroughly, more quickly, and foster those long-term changes. Brain spotting is one of those methods, and it really works. So in brain spotting, we are going to look for a specific eye position where the client feels the most activated, or in other words, where they're noticing the most tension in their body when they think about a specific memory or belief, right, or whatever it is that they're feeling stuck in. And we help with that. The therapist helps with that by actually moving a pointer back and forth horizontally in the client's line of vision. Yeah, until we find a specific, what we call a brain spot. So that's the spot that kind of triggers a heightened physical response that lets us know that we tapped into that. And then we just go from there. So it's really interesting. And when we allow ourselves to connect in this way, we're really able to foster our own innate wisdom and our own healing capacities.
That's fantastic. So how did all this get started? So brain spotting is a practice developed from whom?
David Grand. Brain spotting was born of EMDR. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just agreeing. Go ahead. Yeah. Continue. EMDR. I'm familiar with that.
With EMDR?
Yeah. Eye movement desensitization reprocessing. Correct.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So this guy, David Grand, was a certified EMDR therapist. And over the course of his practice, he had already come up with his own version of EMDR that he called natural flow EMDR, where he had slowed down the eye movement. So if you're familiar with EMDR, you know that in EMDR, the therapist is moving their fingers back and forth, left to right, along that horizontal vision field with the client. So he just slowed that down, and he was working with one of his clients who was a competitive figure skater, and he'd been working with her for about a year of, I think, 90-minute sessions doing this gentle flow EMDR, and she made a lot of progress, but she was stuck on one of her jumps. She was stuck on the triple loop.
Okay.
So he was working with her during this.
Difficult. I'm not a figure skater, but that's, you know, I'm sure that's pretty difficult, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's where you spin three times in the air and then come down and land without falling on your butt.
Yeah.
So she was very capable and very competent. And, just could not land this jump. You know, she, I believe it was, she felt like her legs would go numb in the moment right before she tried to go into the air and do the spin and then come down and land. So they were using EMDR in one of her sessions, and he had her focus on the physical feelings right before she tried to execute that jump, right? And while he was slowly moving his hand across her line of vision, he noticed facial reflexes and said that her eyes kind of wiggled, and he felt like his hand was being held in that spot. So he just left it. He was like, okay, something is happening, and right. I'm going to see where this goes. And suddenly, while she's looking at that particular spot, she just unloads tons of trauma that had never come out in prior sessions, wow. as well as some traumas that they had already processed through that they thought were resolved. They came back out. And afterwards, she landed that jump and never struggled with it again. Mm. So it had brought up these deeply repressed memories. And it had also helped her to find a deeper place of healing for things that she thought and they thought had already been worked through and resolved.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, with brain spotting, lots of questions now. So with, mm-hmm. with brain spotting, at least, this seems like it has multiple applications. You brought up sports. By the way, are there any notable athletes that you're aware of that use brain spotting?
Oh, yeah. In his book, he had worked with a guy who had played for the Mets. And I could find his name really quick. Let's see. Because I've got the book sitting here with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
So professional baseball player.
Mackie Sasser.
Who was it?
He was a former New York Mets catcher, and he is known in the world for, what is it called? The yips. So,
oh, the yips. Yeah.
The yips, yeah. You've heard of the yips?
Oh, it happens in golf. I was just going to ask, you know, that's a big thing that happens with golfers, you know, is that they – is basically they get over putts and they get what they call the yips. And that means that you just, you know, you're pushing the putt, you're pulling the putt, you can't hit it straight, whatever it is. So there's a reaction that people have called the yips. That's fast. Okay.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Yeah. So David Grant, the guy who developed brain spotting, the guy who literally wrote the book on brain spotting, he had worked with several other athletes that he says in his book kind of prepared him to work with this guy, Mackie Sasser. And he says, you know, this guy's pro career was ended actually by the most famous case of throwing dust with his yips. And it's known in the baseball world as Sasser syndrome and Mackie Sasseritis because of this guy. So he also come to find out had a laundry list of sports injury traumas and significant personal traumas. And he goes on to say, all it took was, and I'm reading this, all it took was three extended brain spotting sessions, and Mackie was able to freely throw during batting practice with the college team he coaches.
Wow.
And he goes on to say, Mackie said that the brain spotting had also lifted a 50-pound weight off his back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm curious now, and I'm sure that the people listening are too. So you bring up trauma and this idea of people feeling stuck and not feeling connected, which is, you know, kind of part and parcel for trauma victims.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
How does brain spotting, how does it relate to trauma though?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Trauma affects us in so many ways. And when we're talking about the mind, and, you know, I say the mind with the air quotes going up, right? It's easy to kind of associate that specifically with our brain and then to separate that from our physical body, right?
Right.
But if our brain and our body are truly separate, then why is it that we can hear a song that triggers a memory and now suddenly we have a physical feeling in our body?
Yeah.
You know? So traumas get stuck because the traumatic memories are too big, too distressing, too disturbing to process in the same way that a more neutral memory would be. So the traumatic memory and all of those associated thoughts, feelings, they're likely to be suppressed and, you know, pushed deep, deep down so that that person can continue to function as normally as possible.
Is that where the term disassociate comes from, what you're talking about?
It can be. That's one of the ways that trauma shows back up. So even though we push it down, it shows up. So dissociation is one form. It's a symptom of trauma where a person, you think of it maybe as like an out-of-body experience. But also on a lesser level even, or I guess maybe not lesser, but in other symptoms that show up with these traumas are nightmares, flashbacks, hypervigilance, right? All of those, along with dissociation, are symptoms of unresolved trauma. So what brain spotting does is it allows us to target a specific brain spot that provides access to those memories and everything that has come to be associated with them. Kind of like to think of brain spotting sort of like finding a portal or maybe gaining access to a file.
I was thinking about when you mentioned that idea of, finding a specific spot, it's as though, you as the practitioner have these specifically made keys to help people unlock that piece that they can't unlock themselves.
Right. For sure.
That's great.
We don't know. We don't know what all is going to be in that file until we access it directly. And that's what brain spotting really offers. It's just a more direct route.
That's great. So we mentioned athletes. Are they the ideal candidate for brain spotting? Who is the ideal candidate for this?
Anyone, honestly. Okay. It's an amazing tool. Trauma processing is probably where I would say I've been using it the most in my practice, but really anybody can benefit. I've used brain spotting to explore grief and loss, especially when we're dealing with complicated bereavement. But it's good for phobias, addiction, physical pain. And it doesn't even have to be the really icky, hard, challenging emotions that we're exploring. You can use brain spotting to tap into and enhance creativity or expression. David Grand, again, he talks about working with actors and actresses and other performers to
stage fright, things like
creativity.
That, right?
Yeah. Or just feeling more connected or shifting in and out of character or if they feel stuck lyrically, they're trying to maybe create a song or
thinking about authors who have writer's block, things like that.
Right. Exactly. So really I don't know that there's an ideal candidate other than someone who's just willing to work with it, and willing to explore those sensations that they feel stuck in, and they trust their therapist enough to hold that space.
This is good stuff. So I'm going to ask you the question. How did you find and begin using brain spotting?
I first heard about brain spotting from a colleague of mine who had just completed the training. And I was like you. I knew about EMDR. I knew what that was. But I had never heard of brain spotting. So I did some research and I was immediately interested. It really seemed to just fit in with what I was already doing in therapy. And at that time, I was in a place where I was looking for some ways to tap into deeper processing mechanisms for a couple of my clients who were just having a hard time. And talk therapy wasn't necessarily doing everything that I felt like that person needed.
Sure.
So a little bit after, another coworker told me about an upcoming training that was going to happen, and I pretty much immediately booked it. I was committed, and I was ready to learn this skill and enhance my practice.
That's fantastic. One of the things that we do at Landmark that I want to mention just briefly to the audience, and I think I've told you this too, Cassie, but I think at the heart of trauma for many people is this inability to put words that are sufficient to the degree of trauma that they've experienced, whether it be large or small, and it's only for them to determine whether it be bigger or little, right? And there's this idea that we have to create safety. Yeah. We have to, for people to be able to do the work, to get beyond the trauma that holds them back from leading fulfilling, lives. And what I'm hearing you say is that, number one, brain spotting is for you a wonderful tool, but also I think more importantly in a lot of ways is this idea of you have to have trust in the relationship with the people that you see.
Yes, Definitely. In brain spotting, we talk about dual attunement. And, you know, what that means is we are really checking in with that person consistently while we're doing this. And because we are totally attuned to that person and we are totally containing that space, and we use that language containing because that's really what we're doing. We're providing a container that's safe enough for all of those big feelings to present themselves, to show up without shutting that person down, because that's right. The only way that they're going to work through them, you know. And because of that, it is safe and the client is able to safely access physical feelings and other sensations within that space and within that relationship.
Yeah. Because by doing this work, I think that, to your point, you know, people really do begin to then connect with the head and the heart. Because I think that, yes. You know, so often what happens with people who've been through traumatic events is that they separate the two out, you know, and they begin to live up in their head, where it's for all intents and purposes a lot safer, right? Mm-hmm. You begin to process this stuff and you find out, or a lot of people find out, that, man, I have been doing so much to just stuff down these feelings and not feel them because they've just been too overwhelming, too scary, you know, whatever the word might be.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty overwhelming.
For sure. So, So, you know, with this modality, we'll call it brain spotting, how does a therapist relate where someone is looking and how they're feeling when they look that way with the treatment?
Yeah, another great question. So if you Google brain spotting, then you probably would see the phrase, where you look affects how you feel. That's sort of a big premise of brain spotting. And we have found that to be true, and it's more complicated than that. The brain, the way that the brain is organized, it's sort of from front to back. So in the front, we have our cortical or our like thinking brain. Mm-hmm. In the middle is our limbic, our emotional brain. And in the back is our hindbrain, and that contains the brainstem. And when I was in my training, we used the language lizard brain and wizard brain to explain why brain spotting works the way that it does. So basically, our lizard brain is that deep brain. That's our survival instincts. That's our fight, flight, or freeze.
Okay.
And then out from that, you know, our emotions. And then our wizard brain is that neocortex. It's our judgment. It's our creativity. It's our ability to ask questions like, what if? So when we locate that brain spot, when we locate that I position related to the energy or the emotion of that emotionally charged issue, right, we'll call it, we are tapping into our limbic brain. We are tapping into our lizard brain. We are getting into those deep held experiences and sensations, and we're working with those directly versus having to verbally unpack, right? We use that language in therapy, right. We're unpacking.
Right.
And instead of having to verbally unpack and, okay, we're gonna take this layer off and we're gonna see what's under there. And okay, I'm noticing this. Let's dig a little deeper, right? Instead of that, we're going straight to that source. We're going up the mountain, you might say.
Wow. And I'm just gonna, so when you do an assessment on someone who walks in for the first time into Cassie Baker's office, right? Do you go from 0 to 60, you know, in a millisecond with this stuff, or do you kind of feel out after the first, second, or third session? It's like, okay, now's a good time to start doing this. How do you judge when to begin doing the brain spotting?
That's a really good question. It's very client-centered, you know. Everything about this is very client-centered. And so when somebody walks into my office for the first time, I'm really, you know, I've got about 60 minutes to get to know what it is that they want to achieve out of working with me.
Okay.
So really that first session is just information gathering. And I might mention to them in that session, hey, Have you heard of brain spotting? I might even give them a little bit of information about it and allow them to, you know, kind of figure out what this thing is and that I offer it. But I'm definitely not going to be like, yo, let's jump in and brain spot, you know.
Sure.
The next time they come in, I'm really still getting to know them and they're getting to know me. So it's not, what I like about brain spotting is that it is so fluid. It is so flexible. Mm. It is so intuitive.
Yeah.
That I, as the clinician, have the ability to kind of feel that out and to trust the clients. And they'll let you know, like, yeah, I'm really interested in this is something I want to try.
Right.
Or, you know, I want to jump in and let's do a whole session. Or what's cool about it is we can do just like a 10-minute, we're going to kind of fill this out and see what it feels like to be in that headspace.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And kind of what I'm picking up is that it really is, it's on the onus of, you know, the therapist to kind of, you know, decide at what point, you know, it's most appropriate, you know, based upon, you know, their sessions that they've had leading up to beginning actual brain spotting.
Right. And I'll be honest, it's hard to answer that question fully just because right now, most of the people who I'm using this with are people who I've been treating for a while. So
sure.
I am integrating it into our treatments. Versus having so many new people coming in who are, you know, specifically wanting this or whatever the case may be. So ask me that again in a year and
the answer might be different, probably will be different, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So, you know, just with this brain spotting, does a certain spot correlate with a specific feeling? You know, for example, everyone who looks to the left feels anxiety. Everyone who looks to the right feels depression. Is there any kind of rhyme or reason to that?
Nope. It is different for everybody. It is different for every issue. When I was being trained, we did several practicums, and I found myself, when I was in the role of client, I found myself landing on a different spot every time based on whatever it was that I was working with. And, you know, in working with clients, even when we are kind of addressing those same issues from session to session, we still aren't necessarily always using the exact same eye position. So it's really interesting to just kind of, again, you're just flowing with it, you know, and staying curious and staying open. And it's the client who's guiding all of this.
Got it. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm curious to know just, from you, have you ever done, you know, just with someone, you know, and I'm going to even open this up to our listeners at home. Do you feel comfortable doing just like a short demo about what this could be like?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So basically what do I, and what would our listeners, you know, obviously if someone's driving, they don't need to be doing this.
No, not at all.
But if they're in a safe spot, maybe they're at home right now and, you know, there's not, you know, a pot boiling on the stove, you know, can you guide us or me or, you know, just us through what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. So first things first, find a comfortable place where you feel like you can settle in, where you feel like you can scan your body. So you just want to start to notice how your body feels. Become aware of where you feel tight or tense. And also notice where in your body you feel calm, grounded. You can press your feet into the ground, wiggle your toes, and just feel really present. And as you are connecting to your body, I invite you to think of something right now in this moment that is bothering you. It could be something small like traffic on my way to work this morning, or I overslept and that was really frustrating, or maybe it's something a little bit bigger. Maybe it's
Christmas shopping that I haven't done yet. How about that?
That's perfect. So you haven't done your shopping and you are freaking out about the fact that Christmas is like a week and a half away.
Right.
Which I think we all kind of empathize with. I know I do. So as you're sitting there, present in your body, and you're thinking about everything that you have to do, notice where you feel the most energy or tension in your body. Mm-hmm. And just really connect with that. And as you're connecting with that feeling in your body, give that feeling a rating on a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is the least amount of feeling and 10 is the most just sort of overwhelming feeling.
You know, I would have said a week ago, I would have probably been at about a 5, which is, you know, pretty, you know, doable. But now, as we are, 12 days away, I'm probably more like at about a 7, closer to an 8 at this point.
Yeah. So notice that 7 or 8 feeling in your body. And keeping your head straight, I just invite you to allow your eyes to move all the way to the right, where you're looking to your right as far as is comfortable. And just rest your eyes there for a moment and notice that feeling in your body when you're resting your eyes there.
Yep.
Very slowly bring your eyes to the middle where you're looking straight ahead, noticing any changes in that feeling.
Yeah, I definitely felt some more tension when I did that.
Yeah. Now just moving all the way to the left, just your eyes where you're looking off to your left, noticing the feeling there and any changes.
Yeah, it's becoming more
more intense on the left.
I think so. Yeah. Like so almost like I need to get off this podcast like right now and then just go to the store.
Oh, yeah. That jumping out of your skin sort of feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is indicating to us that over in that area, that's where we need to be working. So from here, what we would do if you were sitting in my office is I would have my pointer and I would bring it to the left. And very slowly, we would just start to move it left and right, but over in that area where you're looking, right? We wouldn't go all the way to the middle or off to the right. We're going to stay in that kind of zone. We're going to very, very, very slowly move back and forth and see if we can find the most intense spot. And then we might even go up and down a little bit and just see if it changes, if it gets more intense or less intense, right? And we're just looking for that kind of, okay, whew, I'm really uncomfortable. I hear people say things like, I really don't like this right now, or, you know, I kind of want to run out of this room right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, fantastic, let's stay there, right? Let's stay there and let's see what happens. Trust your body, notice the feeling, and see where it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting you'd say up, looking up and looking down, because I was looking to the left, looking up, and it got a little bit better. But then when I looked down, it definitely felt compounded, like worse. So down and to the left for me is where I think the energy for me is definitely carrying the most weight.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? And it's good to know, and that is your body's, your mind's innate capacity to recognize and to access those feelings, and we can work with that. So what we would do then is we would just stay in that and ride that out and whatever that looks like. And then at the end of the session, we're going to check back in. And almost always, you know, if we were to do a full, you know, 40 minutes of just staying in that spot that's on your left side and down a little bit, and you're working with all of those feelings that come up, at the end I would say, okay, that feeling in your body that, you know, was a 7 or 8, how strong is that feeling now?
Right.
And more than likely, it's going to have decreased.
Got it. Wow. Well, thank you for that, Cassie.
Yeah.
Just kind of wiggling my fingers and toes, you know, just to...
Bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back. So... How many sessions, you know, I know this is case by case, but typically how many sessions would a patient complete? And is it, I'm sure it's usually part of a bigger treatment plan, right?
Yeah, typically. But again, you know, it's so person-centered. So it really just depends on that person's wants and needs and what their specific goals of treatment are. You know, I've heard stories. Well, we talked about the guy who played for the Mets, you know, 3 extended sessions and his treatment was done. There are definitely cases where somebody goes to therapy specifically to receive brain spotting, and after, you know, 1 to 3 sessions, they feel like they've gotten what they needed out of it.
Yep.
I've not personally experienced that yet, but, you know, I'm using it with people who I've actively been working with for a while. So, in my practice, I typically use it when there's an issue that my person feels like we just kind of keep coming back to, or we're on a loop, or like there's, you know, hamster wheel happening. You know, we talk about the hamster wheel. So in that case, brain spotting is going to be one of the interventions, and maybe we're doing some talk therapy too. Maybe we're using some motivational interviewing. Maybe we're doing some music therapy. Maybe we're, you know, doing some other forms of mindfulness in our sessions. So that's what's cool about it, is it just wedge right in, and it can be integrated into everything else that we're already kind of organically doing.
Good stuff. So in a nutshell, so to speak, how does this compare to EMDR?
I would say EMDR uses a specific set of procedures that include bilateral stimulation, so eye movements, tapping, whatever, to access information that's stored in our brain. And it's more structured than brain spotting, which, you know, again, has that client focus on a more specific spot and is more fluid than EMDR. So there are similarities in the idea that conceptually, and, you know, again, brain spotting was born out of EMDR. But they're very different in that one is going to be much more structured, and you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then your treatment is done. Whereas in brain spotting, it's more like we're just going to kind of flow with it. We do use the same concept. I'll tell you this. We use the same concept as far as the bilateral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
We use what's called bilateral sound. So I have a CD and a dope Walkman, right, that I let my clients use during sessions.
Okay.
And they put the headphones on, and the CD has some of it's music, but a lot of it is just like nature sounds, like the ocean. There's a storm. There's, I think, a creek. And the sounds are moving on a rhythm from one earphone to the other.
Sure.
So they're getting that bilateral stimulation while we're staying in that visual fixed spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It does. It does. So just switching gears a little bit, does brain spotting work well for dual diagnosis patients?
Totally. Yeah, definitely. I'm actively using brain spotting with several clients who have been dually diagnosed. And it's really cool because it's such a flexible and intuitive treatment. You know, we can explore traumas and cognitions and resentment and resistance. You can use it to explore resistance to step work. I use it a lot with willingness,
okay.
And especially willingness to relinquish that sense of power and control that we all want to find in our daily lives, and that often leads to addiction.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, just like in any person, you know, regardless of whether they have the mental illness without the substance use or whatever the case may be, you're really treating the person. You're treating their experiences. You're treating whatever it is that's keeping them from living their best life and functioning optimally. So with brain spotting, you're not going to say, okay, today we're going to focus on the substance abuse, you know, or today we're going to focus on, it's just like, what is it that we're trying to explore? Where is it that you feel stuck? Where does it hurt?
Yeah.
And let's work with that.
That's fantastic. And the biggest thing that I'm taking away, at least with brain spotting compared to other, you know, we'll just keep it on EMDR, is that there's more flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's fair.
What are some of the biggest strengths of brain spotting over other treatment methods, though? EMDR aside, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. You know, part of being a therapist is finding different treatment modalities that are first and foremost evidence-based and also that feel authentic and effective. So brain spotting is evidence-based. There's quite a bit of literature already, even though it's a relatively young practice. And there's several studies in progress now that speak to its efficacy. You know, it works. it works well. And for a lot of folks, it works very quickly. I would say a big strength of brain spotting is that the eyes have a direct relationship with the brain, and we now know that this relationship works both ways. So what I mean by that is when we are scanning our external environment for information, we are also internally tapping into our thoughts, feelings, perceptions, and memories that provide our interpretations of whatever we're visually experiencing, right? So a major reason that brain spotting works is because beyond finding an eye position that accesses our healing capacities, we're also leaning heavily on that dual attunement that we talked about earlier.
Right.
It's that container that's holding in everything that's happening internally and just really allowing for those processes to happen and for that person to move through.
Are you ever hesitant to work with people doing brain spotting on people who are suicidal or just, you know, it maybe higher risk, you know, and maybe not even suicidal, but just some of the, you know, the behaviors that put them at risk and, you know, thinking about, you know, people like, you know, who have severe panic disorders, things like that. How do you judge when it's time to kind of back off?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not hesitant at all with those people, but I'm going to use a different model. So what we've been talking about and what we practiced earlier was a form of brain spotting that we would call inside window, which is where the person is feeling that higher activation, and that's the spot that we're working with. There's also outside window, which is where I am from the outside looking for those reflexes that tell me where the most movement is happening. And then there's a model called resourcing. So with people who are in a very, I guess I would say a more fragile kind of mental place, sure, I'm going to do resourcing with them. So in contrast to finding a point of activation and then going, you know, like we said earlier, straight up the mountain from that spot, I'm going to help that person find a place of groundedness and calm in their body. And we're going to focus on that place. So whatever it is that we're working with the same issue, but we're doing it from a place of calm and relaxation versus a place of more activation.
Mm. Got it.
So yeah, it's, again, it's interesting in that way too. Just knowing that there are different ways that this concept, this intervention can be applied. And it's knowing your folks, it's knowing your clients, you know?
Yeah. As far as critiques though, you know, a brain spot, what are there if any?
The main one is just because it's young, because it's new. David Grand discovered brain spotting in 2003. So there's less research that's available than a lot of other treatment modalities. You know, we've talked a lot about EMDR, that was discovered in 1987. So you're talking about a significant, that's really the main critique, is just that there's not as much evidence and there's not as much longevity, you know, to the evidence, the research that we have now as with other things. But I will say this, the research that is available is pretty incredible. For example, brain spotting was actually found to be the most effective mode of treatment that was used with Sandy Hook survivors after the 2012 set shooting. And that was when they compared it with several other treatments, including trauma-focused CBT, EMDR, and exposure therapy. So that's one particular study.
With some heavy-duty stuff, yeah.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, when we're talking about a less, I guess, blatantly traumatic situation, a longer-term study that they did do, they compared brain spotting with EMDR and CBT. Okay. And, you know, these people received the same length of treatment, the same duration of treatment, but, you know, the form of treatment that they received differed. And 6 months after treatment ended, people who had received CBT had decreased results from when treatment had ended. People who had received EMDR stayed the same, and people who received brain spotting actually continued to experience improvements and were in a better state than they were when their treatment ended. So I thought that was pretty cool also. Definitely very much supports this as an effective tool.
That's fantastic. So how do you find someone who's qualified to do this form of treatment? What should people look for?
Yeah, these are a lot of people are finding therapists online. So most therapist bios are going to talk about the different forms of treatment that they use. And if someone is using brain spotting, they're probably going to list it on their website. Psychology Today has the option of showing brain spotting as a treatment method. So like I know on my Psychology Today profile, you can look at the forms of treatment that I use and it'll show brain spotting. There's also a website, it's brainspotting.com. You can go there and you can get actually lots of information about brain spotting. They've got videos, they've got a ton of information, and they have spot where it's the therapist, you can search for therapist within a certain zip code, but I don't know how up to date that is because I'm not on there yet, and the two other individuals who are in my practice who offer brain spotting are also not listed yet. So I would say, when in doubt, just call. Call or email the person that you're interested in and ask. Ask what we offer. I have people reach out to me all the time and ask, are you trained in this? Do you know anything about that? And I am more than happy. Most of us are going to be more than happy to reply and let you know what we can do and how we can help you. And if, you know, somebody emails me and they want EMDR and that's not something I can provide, then I'm also going to say, hey, I know this person who does. So be bold and advocate and ask the questions to get the help that you need.
On that note, I think that'll be the final word. Be bold. And I do like to plug, you know, people who are doing good work in this community. And if you are interested in what Bridge Counseling and Wellness is doing, check them out at bridgemindbody.com, where they are bridging the gap between mind and body. So, Cassie, I just want to thank you for your time today in speaking to us about brain spotting. I will also say, if you know someone struggling, you know, with an addiction and are searching for answers, subscribe and tune into Recovery Radio each week for the most up-to-date information from leading experts like Cassie Baker. You can listen to Recovery Radio wherever you get your podcasts. And before I sign off, if you are looking for inpatient or outpatient drug or alcohol rehab, visit landmarkrecovery.com to learn about their substance abuse programs that are saving lives and empowering families. And until next week, I'm Zach Crouch with Cassie Baker signing off for Recovery Radio, wishing you well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Recovery Radio. New content for this program is available every Friday, with all episodes available on demand here on the Voice America Variety Channel and through our content partners, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play Podcasts. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review so we can continue to create quality content to help save 1 million lives in the next 100 years. You don't need to struggle through addiction alone. Live the life you dreamed on the road to recovery.